And so in this world that we live in today, there are many racial, prejudicial attitudes that exist among people. I really had to sing it this morning because this is one that y'all asked for. You asked for this one right here. Got to give the people what they want. This morning we're going to be talking about prejudice. Somebody said, Pastor Glaze, can you do a message on prejudice and racism? I said, oh my Lord. But you got to give the people what they want. So we're going to give it to you. Might not like it, but we're going to give it to you. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Beginning reading in verse 5. Then cometh he, or Jesus, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat by the well. And it came about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have given of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he who with thou now has not thy husband, truly thou sayest. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what. We worship, we know, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Today we want to talk about prejudice, and the title of our message is Prejudice Does Not Look Good on a Child of the King. Prejudice does not look good on a child of the King. Somebody has said that prejudice is a great time saver. It enables you to form opinions without bothering to get the facts. When you think about prejudice. This morning, we're going to talk about racial prejudice. And what is racial prejudice? Well, racial prejudice is a dislike for a person or group of people based on their ethnicity or culture. And so in this world that we live in today, there are many racial prejudicial attitudes that exist among people. I heard the story about two apples that were on a tree, and they were looking down at people. And the first apple said, "Look at all those people fighting, robbing, rioting. It seems like they can't get along at all. You know, someday apples are going to rule the world. And when we rule the world, everything is going to be all right." And then the second one said, "Which apples? The green ones or the red ones?" See, you know, we have made it an issue in our culture. Now, I know some people here today might wonder, well, you know, what is the issue? You know, why are you sharing a message like this? But I want to show you as I begin the message today that racism is very prevalent. Prejudice is very prevalent in our society today. Not only from one perspective, but from all perspectives. There was a survey that came out a couple of years ago, and it talked about the fact that even though back in the 1940s, there were separate sections for Negroes to sit on buses, and there were segregated water fountains and restaurants, they said that it's still extant today. It's only in different forms. And they passed out a survey that they got people to fill out, which their conclusion was, is that it reveals that racism is still here today. It's only in a more subtle and hypocritical form. Now, these were some of the questions that they asked on this survey. Now, whether you agree with them or not, I don't know, but I'm tying this in to the message today so we can see where we're headed. Do you believe that you could fall in love with a black person? How do you think your friends would react if you married a black person? You learned after an accident that you received a blood transfusion from a black person. Would that bother you? Do you believe that black persons are poor because they fail to take advantage of the opportunities open to them? You are walking down the street late at night. You see a black teenage boy on your side of the street, and would you cross the street? White Americans have taken enough blame for the black plight. It's time for blacks to take responsibility for their own fate. Do you agree with that statement? Do you believe that the nation should spend less time on the problems of blacks and more on the problems faced by all Americans? Do you believe that it was a mistake to honor Martin Luther King with a national holiday? Does it make you uneasy to see a black man walking hand in hand with a white woman? So they asked these questions, and the results were that it's an indication that racism and prejudice is still alive in America, only in a much more subtle form. Now, unless we think this is one-sided, or I get accused of being one-sided, let me flip the script, all right? 4 black college students yelled racial slurs while they beat up a white man because he was dining with a black woman. And not only that, in Philadelphia, high school students beat up Asian students and repeatedly pelt them with food and beat them and kicked them and punched them in the hallways as they hurled racial epithets. Now, those are only 2 instances. I could go on and on about racism and prejudice in black folks. So unless we think that this is just one-sided, you know, I don't want us to, you know, feel that that's the case today. So as we come, let's think about this being an issue in the body of Jesus Christ. You know, as a matter of fact, unless you think it's not existent, you know, I was reading a story about Gandhi, and it says that Gandhi was trying to figure out what were some of the problems going on in India. And before he became ingrained in Hinduism and taking off to try to make a difference in the world, he visited a Christian church. And when he visited the Christian church, the usher refused to let him have a seat. And the usher told him, why don't you go to a church where people look like you? To which Gandhi, in his heart, said, if that's what Christians believe, then I might as well stay a Hindu. And so we see that the issue is very prevalent around us and even in the church of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther King said that 11 o'clock Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. So we wonder, is it an issue? Things are happening and walls are being broken down, but it's still an issue in the body of Christ. If you will look at your notes this morning, I would like to read the section that says prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. Prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. A deep-seated hatred existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. The root of this animosity goes back to the 6th century BC, when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, which was Israel. After taking control of the nation of Israel, the Assyrians took the Jews, many of the Jews, that were in the land and deported them to Assyria. Because they had conquered many other nations, they sent the inhabitants of the nations that they conquered to reside in Israel. So if you can see what happened here, the Assyrians, they come down. You remember, if you know your Bible history, right? You know that there was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There was a civil war like the Americans had, all right? So the northern kingdom fell first. The Assyrians came down, conquered the northern kingdom, took many of the Jews back to Assyria, but because the Assyrians were so dominant as a world force that they conquered many other nations, and you know what they did? They deported many of those other nations to Israel. So what do you have now? You've got some Jews and you've got some Gentiles living in northern Israel. And so as we look at this, these foreign residents intermarried with the Jews who were still in the land and created a mixed race known as the Samaritans. This group of people was hated by the Jews. Now listen to this. They were not only hated by the Jews because they were racially mixed, they weren't full-bred Jews, but they also incorporated the religious ways of the Gentiles with the worship of Yahweh, with the religion of Judaism. So now, you know, these Jewish, they got a real problem, right? The problem is that you got these Gentiles and Jews marrying, and so not only are they not full-blooded Jews, but they're also trying to integrate the worship of other religions in with Judaism. So now you got some tension and you got some problems, all right? Now this tension was further heightened when the Jewish captivities who went to Babylon when the southern kingdom fell, when they returned to build the wall, the city, and the people. You remember when Nehemiah came back to rebuild the wall? Who gave him the greatest opposition? The Samaritans. The Samaritans opposed Nehemiah when he rebuilt the wall. Now to add insult, let me get away from my notes because this is in my spirit, man. To add insult to injury, the Samaritans, now we all know in the Old Testament, where was the center of worship? It was where? Jerusalem. So what did the Samaritans do? The Samaritans set up another worship center on Mount Gerizim. And so you see, when Jesus is talking to this lady and she says, well, you know, our fathers worship here in this mountain, but the Jews worship in Jerusalem. Oh, see the tension that's going on? See, the Samaritans had set up this worship center and they said, this is the true place of worship. So now the Jewish people really got angry because, look, now we know that Jerusalem is the place And now you're saying that Mount Gerizim is the place. And then to even add more insult to injury, the Samaritans only believed in the first five books of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. And all the rest of it, they rejected. And they said that we only believe, we only accept the law of Moses. And we don't accept your prophets and all the rest of your writings. As a matter of fact, the Samaritans came up with their own Bible. And their Bible was known as the Samaritan Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. So now you see where all this tension is coming in at? You see where the racism and the prejudice between two peoples? As a matter of fact, the rabbis would pray. Every day, the rabbis would pray. Lord, I thank you that I'm not a woman, a Gentile, or a Samaritan. That's how much they hated the Samaritans. And so we see that this racial tension exists between these two groups. And as we break this thing down, and as we talk about prejudice, what types of prejudice people are there? What types of prejudice people are there? Well, we see, first of all, there are those people who are prejudiced, and they're not even aware of the fact that they're prejudiced. Now, there's people out there that's like that. And then when you confront them and say, look, you got a problem. You know, you got a problem with black folks. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. Black folks, some black folks got a problem with white folks. And so they have taken that to another level. All right, I mean, it's one thing to look back in history and see that there was some injustices and inequities. All right, I mean, we can go back and study that in history. But the fact of the matter is that now for some people, it becomes a deep-seated issue in their heart. And for some people, they don't even know it. And you say, look, I believe you got a problem with black people. I believe you got a problem with white people. And no, I don't have, I'm not prejudiced. I don't have a problem. Golly gee, some of my best friends are black. You know, people say that they don't have a problem. Well, some people do have a problem. And they just don't understand that they have a problem. They're unaware of the fact that they have a problem. And then there are some people who have a problem and they are subtle about it. You know, whereas the first group, they kind of have swept it under a rug, and even when confronted, they still continue to deny it because they're not aware of it. But there are people that are aware of it, and it just kind of comes out at times, right? You know, it's just like the devil or the demon that has the halo over his head, right? Every now and then, those horns pop out, right? You know, they come out. And let me tell you how it comes out. It comes out in very subtle ways. Now, again, I'm talking about all races. I'm not talking about one side. So as I'm preaching this morning, don't get hung up on one side. We're talking about all sides. All right? You know, it comes out from black folks like this. The white man. All right? That's the way it come out from black folks. From white folks, it come out, you people. Those people. Right? So, I mean, sometimes it just kind of, this prejudice that's in us, it kind of comes out in subtle ways. And then there are people who are just blatantly prejudiced. And they're just in your face, bigots. You know, they, and it has risen to the point for them of racial slurs and even committing acts of violence against people of other races. And, you know, this is very obvious. As we look around today, the Ku Klux Klan, you know, who was operative years ago, but today we see skinheads, you know, that have this deep-seated racial hatred, all right? So these are the three categories of prejudiced people. Now, as we move on, how is it manifested? How is it manifested? It's manifested in a couple ways. Prejudice is manifested in the idea of intolerance. And intolerance says, you know, basically, I can't deal with this. You know, why do people do the things that they do? You know, why are those people taking our money? And so this intolerant attitude comes up. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he was dealing with some people that had racial intolerance in their spirit. They hated the Jewish people. And they didn't want to tolerate anybody praying to any other god. And so what did they do? They set up a law where if anybody prayed to any other god, that they would be thrown into a lion's den. And so Daniel prays to his God three times. And they turn him in. Why? Because they were prejudiced. They were prejudiced against Daniel because here he was, a Jew from another land who had come and who had risen to a place of fame and notoriety, and they were prejudiced against him. And so they began to scheme and plot because they were intolerant. Secondly, we see it's manifested in hatred. Look at Esther. Look at Esther. Sometimes prejudice is just manifested in hatred. Esther, chapter 3. Here, this guy, he hated Jewish people so much that his objective was to wipe them all out. In Esther, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, this guy's name was Haman. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him obeisance, then was Haman full of wrath, and he disdained to lay his hands on Mordecai alone. For they had made known to him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So this hatred, this hatred that Haman has is so deep-seated and so ingrained in his spirit that now he wants to go out and wipe out a whole race of people. And, you know, all we need to do is look back, you know, to the 1930s, and we see the same spirit going forth in Germany. Somebody that hated, that was so prejudiced and hated people so much. And then finally, it comes out in segregation, that when there's prejudice there, that people segregate themselves from others. In Galatians chapter 2, you've heard the story before. Peter and other Christian Jewish brethren were eating with Gentiles. They were fellowshipping, slapping each other five, having a good time. And then some Jewish believers who were very strict in Judaism came up, and what did Peter and his fellow? They pulled away. They separated from these individuals. They said, we can't fellowship with them because they're Gentile believers. And so what was the end result? The end result was segregation. And so this thing, as we look at it today, is serious. Now, I want to talk in the remaining of the message about Jesus. And how did Jesus handle prejudice? Because he's our model. Amen. Pastor Glaze is not your model. Amen. Billy Graham is not your model. Amen. Pope is not your model. This is your model. Amen. Whenever we want to deal with prejudice, amen, and racism, this is what we need to look right here. And we need to ask ourselves, how did Jesus handle prejudice? And as we understand him, then that's our model. You know, we don't deviate from that. You know, we don't come up with our own formula, our own way. But, you know, we hit straight on.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Prejudice Does Not Look Good on the Child of God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Prejudice Does Not Look Good on the Child of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Prejudice Does Not Look Good on the Child of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Prejudice Does Not Look Good on the Child of God. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.